so honored to be here, and I want to be very careful with time, so just have several great testimonies. Thank you, worship team. That was really a privilege just to see you guys and be here. Pastor, you're right. That message of don't quit, that saved my bacon. I mean, that saved more than my bacon, I should say. We were with Pastor Rich and Dorothy Van Winkle last night, and they took us to somewhere that I can't pronounce, but it's a place that's called Bethlehem Revisited. It's in Texas. Coxawana something, or excuse me for not knowing the name of the town. That's it. Praise God. You're the winner. But I'm just, on the way back as we were driving, we got a little flash on our telephone, and it was a pastor in the Philippine Islands, Ifugao. Ifugao is the province. It's probably all the Philippine Islands, if you made them a jigsaw puzzle and put them together, they'd be the size of Texas. So it's a lot of land area. This pastor was in charge of 1/30th the size of Texas, in about 60 churches. Pastor James Joaquin. And last night, as we were driving back with the Van Winkles to Louisville, the phone texts, and he said, I was right at a point where I'd been falsely accused, and everyone told me of the things I had taken, and as the senior leader of this area, I said, I'm going to quit. And he took all his papers of all these churches and came to the city we were in, Baguio. It's the same city Lester Sumrall got his ministry started there in the Philippines. But here's the great story. Last night we get this text, and he said, the Holy Spirit told me, don't be so quick to turn all those papers in to the government office there. And he saw a notice. One of our conferences was there. It's called Come to the River. And we were sharing the message that you inspired, don't quit. Your message was inspired to me. We carried it. It went across the sea. And here is a pastor last night who was in charge of more than 60 churches, all ready to quit, papers in hand, because of all these false accusations. But I just want to thank you, Pastor Bob, because that dog-eared little don't quit went over to the Philippine Islands. He heard that message. He came to the altar and said, you know what? I'm not going to quit. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. And he's going strong. And I think the significance was, we're here in the Fort Worth area or Dallas, and we get this little flash. Thank you for don't quit. Is God good? Come on, give the Lord a shout. Come on, give him a shout. Praise God. Yes. Thank you, Father. Well, we want to just come and tell you, my precious wife sends her love. She just sent a text. 1 week ago, we were in London, and we have several of our children living in different parts of the world. Just a few weeks before that, we were in Tokyo. And I want to tell you something very significant, because our youngest daughter has believed God to get a job in the U.S. Embassy. And she was on the team that greeted our great President Trump, who was arriving in Tokyo. You know, praise God, amen. Yeah, our daughter Esther, whom you know. Anyways, I'm just saying, we do travel in missions. And then, of course, we're very excited to come and help the children when they have needs. So within 1 week ago, we were in London. And you just suggested that we go to places that are a little bit dangerous. Well, most of our places are like Libya, North Africa. We had a child born in Libya, I think I told you. And, you know, more difficult places, Myanmar, Burma. Those are the places we typically seem to be called to go to. But a little over a week ago in London, the people of Great Britain are afraid to be happy. They are afraid to be happy. I was standing at a shop. We were ordering a coffee or something, and I just saw something across the counter, and I said, would you look at that? Well, this is great. Can I buy you one also? And the man, he was terrified. He was terrified of joy and friendliness. And actually, you know what, friends? He wasn't wrong to have that attitude. I'm just simply saying, we are so blessed in this country. London has been one of the greatest targets of terrorism this year. And it was so much so that when you went to be friendly to someone in a line in a coffee shop, he jumped back and almost jumped out of his skin in shock. You're like, really taken back. And anyways, I have a couple of great video reports. And most of all, our hearts want to thank you. Because, Pastor, you are quick to give us the credit for the things that's happened in the gospel field, the mission field. But I simply want to, you know, say right back at you. Because the story that's so great that I hope I can express tonight is that in more than a quarter of a century, in any of the things we did overseas, all the children, we have seven lovely children. Actually, eight. One's already in heaven. Seven still alive and with us. All of them, but one, were born overseas. They all graduated high school overseas. And only one was born here in the United States. And the rest were all born in different countries. So the Lord has been so good and so gracious. But in all this, more than a quarter of a century, never one month did Calvary ever miss supporting us while we were in all these places. Come on, give the Lord a shout. Yeah. So I look at each one of you tonight and I just say, faithful, 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 faithful. Come on, give yourself a hand clap. Come on, praise the Lord. Yes. And any story we share tonight is not our story, it's your story. Because Minora and I, we might be a little bit, you could say, the astronauts, but you guys are the ground crew. You're the ground crew. And we do minister very far. We have, our home now is in the border of Myanmar, and it's in Thailand. But we want to open up with a really great video tonight about, someone said, can a nation change in a day? It can. Yes, it can. It can. And we witnessed it. Burma, well, let me back it up just a moment. What happens in our mind the moment we hear the name Salem, Massachusetts? You don't have to answer. You don't have to answer. Okay, well we kind of have an answer that was taught to us. I want you to rewind, and I want you to push delete. And delete anything in the family of witches that go with that word, right? Wrong. Salem, Massachusetts is the place that America launched its very first missionary. Very first missionary that the United States ever sent outside of our country left from Salem, Massachusetts. Yeah, praise God. Praise God. Amen. That's what we should be shouting about, Salem. Amen. Praise God. And his name was Adoniram Judson. I may have told you this before. And, of course, what was the very first soil that America touched in missions? It was Burma. Burma. He was now called Myanmar, but you can still call it Burma. It's okay. But Mr. Judson, the day before he left Salem, married his beautiful wife, and off they went, but they didn't get to go in the classy vehicle, jumbo ship, you know, the 747s or the planes. He was on an old metal barge. It was 1 year out to sea, Pastor Bob, 1 year out to sea. And he and his precious wife, their honeymoon was in a broom closet on that ship that was only 5 feet tall. Imagine being out to sea for a year and you couldn't even stand up in your quarters. And I'm just telling you the heritage that we have as of America's very first missionary. And the price they paid as well, they had one child that was born out to sea, and 3 days before they arrived in the port of Rangoon, I'm so sorry to tell you, the child died and was buried out at sea. But the reason I tell you all that is Myanmar, or Burma, was a country for more than 65 years that didn't, the past 63 years, 64 years, didn't allow any missionaries to come in. Basically just completely closed. And when Mr. Judson got there, the year was 1813. So here's a nation the size of Texas, actually larger, waiting 1,800 years after Christ, or Calvary, to hear the name of Jesus. And when Mr. Judson got there, he was American. He spent 8 years to find his first convert. He translated the whole Word of God, right? And his name is in all the Bibles. because it was as translated by Adoniram Judson. So when we arrived, which would have been, let's see, in the mid-90s, not a whole lot had happened since then. And they actually thought we could be some long-lost distant grandson, relative of Mr. Judson, because you're American missionaries, right? So I'm just giving you a little history. You may already remember this. But here's the great news, guys. Here's this cruel dictatorship, not as bad as North Korea, but not too far from that kind of a government. Just, Myanmar has the second largest, Burma has the second largest army in the world, over 700,000 foot soldiers. But they have no enemy except the people. And for all these years, this precious country of Burma or Myanmar has just been looking for freedom and to be able to eat a plate of rice, eat their food. Well, the beautiful thing was, you may know this story, Aung San Suu Kyi was a righteous leader whose daddy was part British and believed in the Christian way. She was under house arrest for more than 20 years, but about a year and a half ago, this wicked, cruel government of over 64 years said, okay, we'll have one more vote. And so they had a vote, and you probably know the outcome. Talk about a rigged election. These evil people that were in charge of Burma all these past 60-plus years, they made sure the army always voted on their side to ensure that they would always win. What they did not tell Aung San Suu Kyi was she didn't have to get 51% of the vote to win. She had to get over 75% because it was all stacked, right? So these wicked leaders, within a year and a half ago, Pastor, they said, okay, we'll have an election. All right, yeah, all the outside media was bad, etc. But they were thinking, she'll never get that much. The day of the election was November 8th, exactly about a year ago. And that day was the miracle day because anyone that was alive, anyone that could breathe, went out and voted. And we got to see some crowds. We saw people waiting all day. Imagine the hottest day you've ever had in Texas. That's how hot it is there. People in hospital beds with wheels on it came out in those lines. They would sooner die than not vote. And then the voting went on all the way past midnight. And by the miracle grace of God, the next day when they counted everything up, she had 76%. Yeah, 76%. And the three goons that had been running the country, they ran for the hills. You know, the first one shaved his head completely bald, dressed up as a monk, and ran into the biggest Buddhist monastery to hide. And the other two were still in Nepal. And a nation of over, you know, this is, I said, can a nation change in a day? My wife and I witnessed 1.5 million people dancing in the streets for 2 days. Not a drop of alcohol. Yeah, just give the Lord a shout. Come on, praise God. Amen. So here's our video from the change that's happened since that time. And again, we just want to thank you. We really want to, we say that several times, that it's without you, we would not have been a success there. Your prayers have kept us under the radar. We've been under the radar quite a bit. Many times we'd have to go from one city, we'd have to leave Bangkok to go to Manila to find the Burmese embassy in Vietnam, somewhere, just because we had too many visas in our passport. And we had to prayerfully, carefully look for another place that would give us another visa to allow us to go back in. All that's been erased now. The borders are wide open, yeah, and all. Give the Lord one more clap. Could you do that? Yeah. We have iPhones. We have iPhones in the Wi-Fi is working now. This is a country that when we first started, we had to take $2,200 cash and give it to this government just to get a SIM card. You know the little baby SIM card that goes inside of your phone? $2,200 and wait on a list for more than 1 year just to be able to get a SIM card so we could have the power to talk to each other. That's how controlling the evil government was. They wanted no words from inside the country to go outside. And so all that is gone. And now you can buy a SIM card for $1.50. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, Brother Richard, if you have a moment, Could we dim the lights before we turn your video on? This is really great. This is called Myanmar, the land of the golden smile. And here's what the Lord is doing now. I pray this will really bless you. And give us a little of that audio. Is that, come on, audio. Where are you? Okay, it's coming. That train is the oldest wood-burning train in the world, by the way.
Spectacular landscape and dramatic history.
Is it possible just to back it up just a second there? With just a few openings. Is that, yeah, here we go. There's my lovely wife, Minora. And, okay. If it's possible, Richard, just crank up that audio a little better for us. Thank you.
Myanmar is called the Land of the Golden Smile. It's as vast as Texas, with the two emerging world powers, India and China, on the other side. Myanmar is the nation sandwiched in between. The majority of the population in Myanmar is Buddhist, but now with a remarkable revival, nearly 10% of the population is becoming Christian.
I believe the Mokardis are really pioneers for God's kingdom here in Myanmar, because when they first came 20 years ago, there weren't many missionaries, and even missionaries were not allowed at that time, and they really made huge impact, I believe, for God's kingdom, and they really, really destroyed a lot of the works of the enemy here and a lot of the strongholds here through their preaching, through their teaching, and even just through developing leaders and really spirit-filled leaders, spirit-filled worshipers, and helping and working with the locals to really extend God's kingdom here in Myanmar. And I believe it has even gone much farther than they themselves could physically go, like even to the remote villages that even where I, as a Myanmar national, I can't even go. I don't even know where these villages are, but their lives have impacted through the leaders that they have trained. And a lot of churches have been blessed through their ministry here for over the last 20 years. And they are real pioneers.
This is the Bible school. We just graduated in its 16th year. The name of this class was called Don't Look Back. Don't Look Back. Your finances, your prayers made this school possible. All this is the new property. We just finished our fifth building. Burmese are so dedicated, they've already gone out and established 80 different churches in an area the size of Texas. 80 cities, 80 cities. You may know this Pastor Terry Matthews is a friend of Brother Andrew Womack.
I just want to take a few moments and talk to you about Daniel and Minora McCarty and the great ministry that they're doing in Southeast Asia. I know this because I've been personally involved with them for over 20 years. I've seen the love and the life of God flow through them to others, and I've seen the results of their ministry in several nations. I'm just wanting to let you know this is a great, great ministry that's serving the Lord and changing lives and really changing nations for Christ.
Describe the McCartys. I believe... How should I say?
They
have
kiddos.
A sense of family. They have a sense of fun. They have a sense of responsibility. The lives that they have impacted here in Myanmar is now it's going to go outside of Myanmar to the surrounding nations.
We feel like we have struck a gold mine, something like the California gold rush. Whoever gets there first gets the people. We thank God for you, and we just say, don't stop. Come on, team, don't stop, don't stop, because the nations are doable. This nation is changing because of God's grace and because of your investment, and we thank God for you.
I believe it's very essential that what the McCartys are doing here is really impacting not just the nation of Myanmar, but the other nations as well. But in order to keep that going, prayer is so important, and financial support is so important too, because we're not just building a ministry, but we're building God's kingdom, and we're expanding God's kingdom, not just in Myanmar, but to the rest of the nations. And so this is a very good ground to sow, I know, and I've seen it for myself, and for the past 20 years, it's really a good ground to sow. And I believe that when we get to heaven, you know, God's going to say, like, this is your reward for your share in building God's kingdom in Myanmar.
God bless you. Bye.
Bye. Love you.
Let's give the Lord a hand clap. Can we give the Lord a hand clap? Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, guys. That's not just our story. That's your story. And we are forever grateful, just forever grateful. We feel that we're on a gratitude tour. And, you know, someone once said wisely, the poorest man in the world is not the man without any money. It's the man without any gratitude. And, yeah, I mean, gratitude's so powerful. I know that you're so grateful, and that's why you're here, and your life reflects that. But we are especially grateful to this house and the faithfulness of this house and the faithfulness of every great pastor that's here. And, wow, we may be the fingers that are far across the sea. In Southeast Asia, we call this part the other side of beyond. Because you get on one plane and another plane and another plane. And like, I don't know, six movies later and four meals later. Are we there yet? But we might be those little fingers, but we're attached on a long arm back to this shoulder, back to this body. And yeah, these stories, hey man, give the Lord a hand clap. Give him a hand clap. Yeah, praise God. Because how the Lord allowed us to do what he did in Myanmar and what's going on is really something to write home about. It's really something to write home about. Transferring money was almost impossible, and so many things were just really, as I said, under the radar. But the Burmese believers, I mean, there were times after the first 8 years of the property you saw, we didn't have those nice buildings. And the government came in, and they took one building, probably the fifth, well, not even the fifth the size of this area, but it was a concreted, nice building. And just to intimidate us, they took 2 acres of land, one building, 24 hours, move everything out, come in with bulldozers, pushed it all down. Took one of our Bible teachers and put him in prison for a 2-year sentence. So this was a government that was really hostile to Christian ministers and missionaries and everything else. But can you believe now all that's changed and they're the ones that have fled? Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Yes. And Aung San Suu Kyi, the woman I mentioned, as soon as she won that election by 1% extra, when she won it, you know the first thing that she did? In that country, they have one president and 2 vice presidents. But the first vice president is like the prime minister. He does everything. So the very first thing she said, Pastor Bob, she said, I want a Christian for vice president number one. Praise God. And yeah, and it was remarkable because for the previous 100 years, no matter how faithful you were in life, if you were Burmese, you could never go past a sergeant in the military. You couldn't get a job in a bank. You couldn't, no matter how faithful, there was such discrimination. Now, the number one vice president of Myanmar, or Burma, is not just Christian, spirit-filled. Amen. Give the Lord a, amen. Praise God. And so all of our people are calling us on used iPhones, but at least they they're working. There's a Wi-Fi system there. And never mind all this thugs, government thugs in charge. And so this is really a great thing to shout about. And it's really, yeah, praise God. Well, amen. Amen. Walls can come down. And I just wanted to say, we have two more videos, and I'll try to be very brief, because they say the head can only absorb as much as the seat can endure. Is that how it goes? Is it okay if I have a little fun tonight? Yeah. Can I tell you something in Tokyo? It is a little bit funny. How many of you think that shopping in Tokyo, or shopping in Japan, is difficult? Does anybody have an idea there? Two stories. We have been connected with a wonderful work, a wonderful man of God, I should say. He's in heaven now, John Garlock. He was one of the former co-founder with Gordon Lindsay of Christ for the Nations. And you know that name probably. Anyways, he was the one that brought us to Japan, and all credit to his life and his testimony. But when he first took us, at the place is Hokkaido. It's the northernmost island of Japan. So my wife and I were just recently there, and everything runs like clockwork. In Japan, it's like, wow, it's just like, boom, every second counts, yeah? So the leader said, for a week, you're going to be in this apartment. Let's go to the supermarket, get you the food you need before you start teaching the students. So he took us to the store and said, Daniel, I have only 23 minutes, 23. I drop you here. You go in there, you get everything with Minora, and I'm back in 23 minutes. You ready? You can do that? And I said, yeah, sure. How hard can it be? Oops. He dropped us at a big box mart, you know, like a Costco or something. I don't know what you call it. Here, big Walmarts or something. And so I'm with my wife. And we said, quick, honey, we got less than 23 minutes. Let's get over there quickly. So as soon as we run in the department store, my wife says, oh, sweetie, I need to use the ladies' room. I said, we have so little time. Come on, honey. She said, sorry, now you need to use the ladies' room. So we come up. The Japanese are very amazing. They honor you all the time. So it's always, konnichiwa, konnichiwa. And they're bowing and saying hello, etc. How are you? So the girls are running up to us and like, and so we're like, toilet, toilet. So she takes us from one, where we are in the one part of the store. She walks us all the way through this big side. We finally get like all the way by your doors over there, by the walls. And the whole wall is lines of massive rolls of toilet paper. I said, no. Toilet, you know, toilet. Oh, konnichiwa. And they take us back to the other side. And the opposite side, almost the opposite side of the store. And it's all the parts that go in the tank, toilet seats and everything else. And finally, I'm like, no, you know, toilet, like, oh, you know. My wife's making these things with her legs, like, oh. Oh, that toilet, you know. But this is just so funny because now we're racing. We're looking at the clock. We run. Now we get to the register. We've got to be back out at the curb in time because everything is like clockwork there, right? And we get to the checkout counter. We forgot the mineral water. And, you know, you don't drink water out of the taps. You better have your own water, right? I said, no problem. I'll run back and get it. I ran back in another whole aisle, a row of water, I should say. But the bottles were really big. I mean, they were the size of this speaker. And I mean, they were big and they were stacked. I thought, wow, these Japanese really want you to drink a lot of water. So I'm looking for the best price. And I saw what would look like a pretty good price. You better watch out about those zeros. You better count the zeros. Anyways, I said, sure, I'll grab this one, leaning to my own understanding. And then I noticed there was a little can of sardines attached to the top of the water bottle. Oh, now that was the Holy Ghost trying to talk to me. But I was in a hurry and didn't hear it. So I grabbed it and ran to the counter, and we checked out. I said, look at that. Really great. So now we're at the curb. In 22 minutes, we got back, and our driver came up, and he's like, okay, quickly. He's helping us load everything into the car. And he stops, and he picks up this big water. He says, Pastor Daniel? Yes, he said. He holds it up. He says, this is not mineral water. This is sake. You have bought the largest bottle of sake. It's like vodka, right? That's what the sardines were for. He said, I will let you teach in my Bible school, but I will not let you go shopping with any of the students. So I'm telling you, you know, I think the Lord must have the sense of humor with all these things with the languages and all this stuff, right? But by the grace of God, we go into Japan, we don't really speak the language, and we usually open our mouth and put our foot in it, and they love it. Our first time, there was a prayer meeting, and the saints were worshiping, and it was a lot of fun, and they said, we must hear something. Someone must say something before we close the meeting. And nobody gave a testimony, you know. So I'm in the back, I said, well, I'll say something. And I ran up to say something, and they go, but we don't translate. No way. I said, oh, you can do it. You can do it. No, I've never done it before. I said, sure, I'll just say one word. So I just said, your music is so beautiful, it takes our breath away. And he looks back and forth, looks back, and he looks at the crowd, says, the missionary man says when he hears us sing, he wants to choke himself. And the people are roaring with laughter. And I'm like, what did we say, you know? Here's the kicker. God uses the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. Can I hear an amen? Amen. And by the grace of God, the Japanese start to love us because we're making so many mistakes. And maybe it's entertaining. I don't know. But we don't know that we have taken four major teams of Japanese, like 18 and 19 members at a time, from northern Japan into northern Burma. And for many of the Burmese, they have not seen Japanese since World War II. And this is a great story because for three long years, Japan controlled Burma and killed hundreds of thousands of the Burmese. So there was such animosity. And now the Lord's letting Menor and I, with our not even knowing how to speak and making, what do you call, charades to try to find the toilet, you know. Anyways, we're being used by the Lord to be a bit of a bridge. And yeah, amen, praise God, amen, praise God. To God be the glory. And you should have seen some of the services when the Japanese were ministering the restitution, I should say, but you know, the altar calls, the Burmese coming, and the Japanese ministers from Christ, it's Christ for the Nations in Japan, it's an extension of their school, and they're just hugging on each other, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, weeping Japanese on a Burmese. And man, I mean, yeah. And again, maybe these were the sons or grandchildren of the actual soldiers that had come and controlled and ravaged the nation during World War II. So is that cool? Is God cool or what, you know? Amen. Give the Lord another hand clap. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Well, I really want to be careful with the time. And maybe I should, can we move right on to another video? And then I have something on gratitude. Is that good? Yeah. Well, I just thank you, Jesus. Thank you for this chance. Father, I want to stop for a second and ask your blessing. Thank you, Sal. Thank you for your blessing on Pastor Bob, Pastor Joy, Pastor Charlie, Pastor Lori, all the great leaders here that I don't even know by name. And Jesus, I thank you that though we may have been very far across the sea, you made a way to keep us close in spirit and even protected, as Pastor said earlier about the dangerous places we have been in. It's so true. But we were possibly more protected than others because of the prayer and the blessing of this house. And Father, we give you praise for that. And may tonight focus my own mind, Father, to be conscious of time. And we give you all the honor and glory for all these stories. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. Well, I am really enjoying being with you, Pastor Charlie and Pastor Lori and Pastor Bob, everyone. If it's possible, we have that second one all lined up, Brother Richard. Yeah. This one is called, Pastor Bob, you taught us this, Partners Catch More Fish. So we used your line, and this is the name. You're already partnering with us, and here's some of the results of that. Praise God. If possible, give us a little more audio if you can. I appreciate it. Some of it was shot in a cell phone. Bible school students in the Philippines. This is the underground church in Vietnam. Yes. There's Jill and Charlie at the block. They came over. Did a couple of them, yeah, twice. They've been over.
The
name of the conference was called Don't Look Back. These are the Japanese leaders that we just mentioned that came with us to Myanmar. This is my wife in Vietnam. Bible school graduates.
It's all been said and done. There is just one thing that matters. Did I do my best to live for truth? Did I live my life?
This was during the tsunami. Thailand.
Yes.
Also Burma. So the orphans that were left over from
all my
the tsunami there
will
started helping the girls coming out of the sex trafficking in Thailand.
Only what I've done for love's reward will stand.
Medical missions is our daughter Esther several years ago. Mother Teresa
Lord, your mercy
of Myanmar.
Is so great.
Hundreds and hundreds of orphans by herself.
That you look beyond our weakness and find purest gold in miry clay, making sinners into saints.
This is also the Philippines.
Yeah,
this is for the staff. And this is, you're already supporting us as a church, so that's okay. But these are the workers we have from Japan that were coming into Burma. And this was also part of the tsunami efforts in southern Thailand. That little boy was Sidam. He followed me for days. The refugee camps after the tsunami there. There's my lovely wife. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Can we give the Lord Jesus a hand clap? Praise God. Amen. We're gonna close with this that third video in just a moment. But before you do, Brother Richard, I just want to thank you and really tell you that, hey, together, we're a team. We are a team. And we are seeing such great results. And we are so grateful. We're just so grateful. The fact that, I mean, when the tsunami hit, it hit an area of southern Thailand that for over 300 years would not allow any Christian missionary in the area. And it was 300 kilometers of coastline. And, you know, over 250,000 people lost their lives in that tsunami. 250,000. They will not even tell you that number because the country of Thailand really wants tourism to come back. But apocalyptic? Apocalyptic numbers. It's just like, what? And in that same area that was so Muslim, we were a lot. Brother Andrew's ministry sent us a lot of money, and different people would, we were boots on the ground. So it was our job to send that money and get it to good people and help people rebuild homes or whatever. A great, great thing was the Muslims in those refugee camps, when they saw us, and especially my wife, who was originally Jewish, they said, this is not possible. This is totally not possible. Number one, we've been here 3 weeks. No one's ever come to help. You're the first people. The government didn't come. But what's not possible? Number one, you're Americans. And we've been taught from small child, Americans are like the great Satan. And number two, you're Christians. So can you imagine that? So another Buddhist area of a place in Thailand, refuse to keep the gospel out. Tsunami comes. The country opens that part, and we've led many to the Lord, and there's many new churches that got established, even from the calamity of the tsunami. Amen. Praise God. Yeah, praise God. So, yeah, God's in control. He's in control. And I don't have an opportunity to show it by the video, but our daughter that we mentioned, Esther, she was born in the most obscure part of the Philippine Islands, a place where it was so impoverished that when you went to the hospital, there were dogs under each bed and cats on the bed. And that was a little bit par for the course, right? So my precious wife, Minora, said, honey, we're doing a home delivery here, you know. Our daughter, Esther, whom you know, was born in the Philippines and raised on fish and rice. And the city we lived in, if you didn't get to the, there were no supermarkets. If you didn't get to the main open market, by 6:30 in the morning, everything was gone for the day. And the daughter I just met in London, her proverb to me was like, gee, Dad, thanks a lot. Rice in the morning, rice in the afternoon, rice in the evening, and at night, what do I get? Rice mares. I'm just saying, our kids were very brave to go with us, and they're doing wonderful things for the Lord. But that daughter, Esther, whom I just mentioned, was, as I mentioned earlier, was on the greeting team of our great president and his wife. And the day before, his daughter Ivanka came, and our daughter Esther always loved Condoleezza Rice. And she said, Dad, I'm going to be like Condi. And she would read the books, the one who was born in this very impoverished part of the city. She now was on her way to Israel in the State Department, and then she got called upon by the new ambassador of all Japan. And she said, if you would please come work for me, I've heard of your story, and I want you. So our daughter Esther, and I did send you this little video, Pastor Charlie, she's on the ground with her cell phone while Air Force One just came into Tokyo. Yeah, and she and her new husband from South Africa, they were invited to sit in the limousine right behind the president. And she serves the ambassador, a wonderful Christian man from Bill Haggerty from Tennessee. So is that cool? Is that cool? Amen. Praise the Lord. And when you pray for us, you're praying for our family, you're praying for our children, stories like that. And for that, we just want to give praise. We really want to give praise. And boy, the people of Asia love our president. Our president, praise God. Amen. Yes. Japan, Vietnam, Philippines. Everywhere he went, he was so well-respected and so well-loved. I don't know what's gotten goofy with people in our country. I don't know what's going on. Man, some people need their head examined, or maybe they just need a new head. I don't know what's going on. But yeah, well, I said we're on a gratitude tour, so I'm just going to give you two thoughts, and we'll close with our final video. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. I hope I'm making sense. One pastor that saw us recently in New Jersey had said, Daniel, it's really good you brought your wife, because I see you have the ministry gift of excitement, but she has the ministry gift of making sense. We don't really know what we're doing, but we know that we're obeying, go ye into all the world and preach this gospel. And by the grace of God, the Lord has done some marvelous things, marvelous things, marvelous things. And we're not bragging on us, we're bragging on God. Everything we did was for missions and for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I just wanted to leave you with this thought, that gratitude is what it's all about, right? So many people, my son-in-law's parents are from Holland, and they were just, we got to see them over, they said, the thing we love about Americans is that they have this holiday called Thanksgiving, where everybody stops and talks about what they're thankful about. This is Europe. This is people in London, people in Holland, people in Switzerland that we got to see recently. So I just wanted to say this, if I could, about gratitude. And then we'll close with our final video. There's just something about gratitude that God responds to. There's something about gratitude that God responds to. When you express your appreciation to God, His natural response is to pour the blessings on you all the more. Amen. There's something about gratitude that can almost trigger God's heart to work on your behalf. His natural response is to pour the blessings on even more in your own life and in the lives of your family. Can someone agree with me? Yes? How many times you'll be driving down the road or in a situation and you're just worshiping God, giving thanks, and all of a sudden some good news comes your way? You think there's a connection? I'm sure there's a connection. I'm sure there's a connection. The Bible talks so many times about good news, right? One of the Proverbs in a certain translation I read, I think it was New Living, but it says, good news brings healing to the bones. The inner part of your bones gets healed because of good news. And good news is a part of Thanksgiving. And I think the only person that I would say that is a poor person is a person that doesn't have the gratitude, right? When we are thankful, it pleases God, and He responds with blessings. You may have heard the story, but Rudyard Kipling, he was a great writer. And, he always talking about Burma and the road to Mandalay, you know. In his day, Rudyard Kipling was such a prosperous, successful writer that for every one of his words, he would get about 2 shillings per word. 2 shillings per word. I guess that would be about $2 today. And that's how they measured him, his success as a writer. So a bunch of college students one day wanted to have a prank. So they gathered a few dollars and put it in an envelope. This is a long time ago. And they said, oh, we hear you're so famous that your words are real special. So here's some money. Send us your finest word. He wrote back to the students and he just wrote, thanks. Isn't that good? And praise God. I mean, it's just a vivid illustration of this thought of gratitude. I'm here. We're calling it a gratitude tour. This morning we spoke at the Shepherd House, Pastor Rich and Dorothy Van Winkle. We called the name of what we shared. We just say it's time to join the gratitude tour. It's time to join the gratitude tour. It's time to join the gratitude tour. Praise God. When you're at the supermarket and you're checking out, you can tell somebody what you're grateful for. Because listen, friends, we love our new president. I hope I'm not stepping on any toes here. Yeah, praise God. Amen. Amen. Yeah. I love Pastor Bob recently said he's the easiest president he ever had to pray for. Brother Andrews, yeah, that's right. And he has a wonderful campaign, Make America Great Again. And we believe that. I think two things have to happen in order to do that? Number one, as Americans, we have to learn to be grateful again. Amen. Go ahead. Give the Lord I'm sorry, friends, but we seem to have lost our gratitude. And then also the entitlement. The entitlement's got to go. We are so entitled. We are so entitled that we are killing ourselves with this expectation of what is ours. I mean, the rest of the nations aren't like that. My brother, you said you served in Vietnam, and they were happy for $1 a day, $65 a year? Yeah. And we've been working since 1990 in Vietnam. And many of the people you just saw in the video there. But anyways, last part of gratitude, and then we'll close this out. Thank you, Jesus. But there's something about that gratitude that triggers something in God's heart. People appreciate appreciation, right? And I think God does too. I really believe He is. I believe that when we are thankful, it pleases God and He responds with His blessings. I believe gratitude is an attitude, and like many other items in our character, it comes by not just waiting for things to happen or waiting for marvelous things to trigger it. Gratitude comes by making a decision. Can I hear an amen? If you've ever had a real problem with forgiving someone, you know that the starting point is to decide to forgive. That's the starting point. And then, you know, it doesn't instantly take away the pain. But when you decide to forgive, it pulls the knife out of the wound, and it gives the wound a chance to heal. Right? Yeah? Well, I think it's the same way with gratitude. That you do not automatically express thanks for everything you see. But when you make a choice to give thanks, I think this begins to build and foster the right attitude. Hallelujah. So I recommend it. It pleases God, and it pleases your neighbor. Praise God. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a shout. Praise God. Yeah. I recently had to go to a store in Chicago, and we were traveling back and forth and back and forth. There was a big store, and it was some bike parts. I'd try to ride bicycles to try to pay attention more to my health, etc. And when I came back in, and there was a situation, and they couldn't exchange something, but they said they would have. And finally, the manager came out and said, "Is this that happy guy?" They actually asked that question. It's a REI store. REI, do you know that? It's a sport outdoor. Yeah. They said, "Is it that happy guy that's been telling all these people about, you know?" Anyways, I was remembered by my joy in a store, an outdoor camping store, like Dick's Sporting Goods or something like that. Anyways, I just want to encourage you that, gratitude is an attitude. It pleases God. And it pleases your neighbor. And, we ought to be the happiest people on earth. We ought to be the happiest people on earth. And personally, I think you folks in Texas ought to be the happiest of the happy. I'm serious. I mean, this is the land of God. It's so prosperous, I don't believe your freeways. I mean, they're like golden. You got roads upon roads upon roads. And the signs are even up, getting back up now. The signs following ministry or something. I just need a sign so I know which way to turn on the freeway here. I knew I was getting close to you guys because I saw yours, church, and I love the sign you guys got out. It's always out there. You've got the power. You always had Acts 1:8. You've got the power. And, you've already got it, and you have. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for, apologies if I've gone over with the clock. But this is a gratitude for my wife and I. We, by the grace of God, in the last 2.5 weeks, we've crossed 2 oceans. We're all the way from the Pacific, back in Tokyo, and Tokyo all the way back to London. And it's all been for the Lord. But the blessings of the Lord have been on it. And I thank you so much for praying for me, for my own personal health. God has restored my health. Several of you know that I was coming back from Burma, had a... About 7 or 8 years ago, I had a major heart attack at 33,000 feet. And but by the grace of God, they, you know, I was, it was serious. It was a 95% blockage on my LAD. I didn't have any idea of such a thing. But the next thing I know, I'm on the floor, about 90 minutes, couldn't breathe. And a precious doctor, Amy, I don't know the rest of the name, but she sat on the floor next to me. And they made an emergency landing at Dallas-Fort Worth. And even when the secretary was very upset, I'm not secretary, the stewardess was so upset with Dr. Amy and says, get back in your chair, we're landing. And she sat there on the floor with me and she said, no, I believe this man's important and I'm supposed to stay with him. Yeah. Come on, go figure, you know. And they said, is there a doctor in the plane? There wasn't one, there was three. And each one of those doctors had something that I needed to keep me alive. One had nitro, one had a device to steady the blood pressure. And I'm telling you, is God amazing or what, you know? Amen. So I can't think of that story in Fort Worth without, you know, getting a little teary-eyed. And the touch of God, the great people of Fort Worth, I ended up at a hospital right here and went through the recovery and... Yeah, by the grace of God, you know, I'm sure the devil wanted to take me out, you know, but the Lord gave me another chance. And I'll tell you what was, last thought, this is really cool. So here I am with a dream. I think I was not even 60, but I was on the dream of like, Lord, I just want to, you know, make it to 90 plus on the mission field, you know, just David Livingstone, here we come, you know, let's go, you know, we're all about that. Which is pretty cool because we spent 2 or 3 years in North Africa. I learned Arabic. And I worked for a company as a diesel mechanic with AT&T. They were putting in telephone lines. That's how we ended up in Libya. So we were all about Africa, and we were passionate about David Livingstone and all this stuff. And, you know, we had some results, but this was a long time ago. And then more just recently, this earlier this year, guess where we were? South Africa. And we inherited the most beautiful son. Our daughter married a young man from South Africa. And we got to go there to do the wedding, and hundreds of families, the South African families, they're strong Christians. Johannesburg and Cape Town, very strong. I'm sure you know this. But what's my point about Africa? So we had a chapter there. We had a chapter there in Africa. But we wanted to go back, still do, but I had that heart attack. And I had I was out of commission for like a year, and my wife was like, you know, did you have a stroke or whatever? I think it was the medication. They'd given me so much medication. I wasn't myself. But here's the best news. I had the heart to go back to the mission field. But I had the debt of the hospital right here in Fort Worth. And I'm talking, you know, I think it was $37,000. No insurance. The phone was ringing off the wall. When are you going to make these payments? Well, there's no way we could go back overseas even if I got healed without taking care of your debt, right? And it got so severe that my precious wife just left me recuperating in America, trying to restore. She said, honey, I'll go back and get some of the women I know to keep up with the Bible school, etc. But here's the last story, I'm sorry. The phone rings one day, and I was like, not going to answer it. I thought it was one more bill collector, one more this, and one more... You know, bad report. I don't need any more bad reports. And, you know, the Holy Ghost is so faithful. And there I was listening to the rings. That's ring number one, ring number two. I think he got up to 6 or 7 rings. And I heard the Lord's voice, Daniel, get out of bed and answer the phone. And be cheerful, would you? I raised the phone. I said, yes, Lord. And this is the coolest thing. I think it's HBW or what's the big hospital here? HEB, yes. She said, well, we just had a special meeting. Is this Mr. McCarty? We just had a special meeting. And someone said that you were doing overseas missions work or overseas something. Is that right? Oh, yes, that's right. My wife said, well, is it possible? We had a meeting amongst all the hospital leaders, and we considered, would you be able to write us a check today for $3,000? Because if you do... We will erase the other $37,000. And then there's a pause on the phone. She says, excuse me, hello? I said, are you there? She said, I have to give you this reference number from this call. Hello, are you there? And I was like all real silent for a moment. And I said, you know, the reason I was silent was like Niagara Falls was coming out of my eyeballs. I was like, ooh. I'm like, and I said, well, hold on a second. I'm bawling. You know, I'm I can't write because I'm crying for joy that Jesus was removing my debt, paying a bill I couldn't pay, no insurance, setting me scot-free and getting me back on the road to healing to go back to those countries and serve the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, can we give the Lord a, go ahead, give the Lord a big hand clap. Praise the Lord, to the Lord Jesus. Thank you so much. So I'll forever remember the great people of Fort Worth and yourselves as well. Thank you. Yeah, Lord, give me a second chance. And look out, devil, here we come. Yes, amen. By the grace of God, we're back. And yeah, we're invading new territory. And hey, we're watching the kingdom of God. I mean, the kingdom of darkness is coming down. And the kingdom of God is coming up. Can I hear an amen? Praise God. Amen. Well, thank you so much for your time. And apologies about me and the clock. I'm not the best with that. But anyways, if we're ready, Brother Richard, yeah. Let's dim our lights if you can, because this video is really special. This is our closing video. And this is called Jesus Be the Center.
Jesus be the center.
Is it possible to give us just a little more audio there? I would appreciate that. Thank you.
From my heart to the heavens, Jesus be the center. It's all about you. Yes, it's all.
So there are Bible students in the Philippine Islands and some of the pastors. Ones that you see singing and worshiping, this October we sent 10 Filipino missionaries to Thailand. Those very ones went, we sent them to Thailand. They had tremendous revival there. That's what the airplanes look like to get into Burma. They're pretty old.
But
here's the results. These are the Christians that are serving God. 82% of the graduates are full-time pastors. 82%, yeah.
Say the word.
There's my sweetie, Minora.
And I will sing for you. Over oceans deep, I will find.
It's the Philippines, yes, yes.
If each star was a stone.
And this one here is northern Burma. The birds follow you in Burma.
It would still fill my heart.
These are Vietnamese leaders in the Philippines. They've come and we've trained them, they've graduated, and they go back to Vietnam. Yeah, with a heart for God. Pastor Nam Tran, also in Saigon. Over 25,000 leaders have been trained in the last 27 years. 27 years in the Philippines. These on the screen right now with the missionaries. We sent 10 of them this October. And here's the Japanese believers coming into Burma. There they are. New graduates. One in every 10. Now, there are 10 million Filipinos around the world. 10 million. Many of them Christians. Working outside. Yes. Workforce in the world. Yes. Yes, they are on cruise ships. Filipinos in the medical world. And there's my sweetie, Minora, sending her love tonight.
Coming me back, and then sabi nga na mga classmates ko, I am the prodigal daughter. He never give me up.
These are some of the Bible students in the Philippines and also some of the young leaders. And this was an altar call that we just said, who wants to make sure you don't miss God's call? And they're singing a song, "Oh God, let us be a generation that seeks your face, O God of Jacob." It's Jonathan, Letty. They really are the labor pool for the body of Christ around the world. It's quite amazing.
I want to thank my supporters, because without them, the Bible school will not continue. And because of their support, we enjoy a lot of things. We enjoy the blessings. We enjoy the food that we eat here because of them. So I'm so happy that they are willing to support this Bible school. So I'm now prepared and ready to share the love of God to other people. And I just want to thank my supporters for this Bible school.
And I'm so thankful for what God is doing in the lives of these students. We know they're going to go out in the world and touch multitudes, and many lives will be transformed and blessed.
Second oldest daughter, Mina.
We're very grateful for your investment in our lives and in the ministry here. You've been so faithful sustaining us in missions, now 30 years in missions, 25 of those years we've lived overseas.
Actually 45.
Daniel and I cannot even express our gratitude for the part you've played, your generosity, your love, your faith in this venture. We've been able to work in many nations here in Southeast Asia, and we're just so thankful for all that God has done through these years. Thank you for the part that you've played. May God bless you richly for your partnership. God bless you.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Give the Lord a hand clap. Come on, give Jesus a hand clap. Saints, thank you so much. Pastor Bob, thank you so much. We were way back. I was born again in 1971. And by, I think, 1972... I think it was way back. You were part of a big Jesus gathering, and I think it was called Explo. Explo, is that what it was? It was way back in Dallas and Fort Worth. And I'm sorry, but you know, you wouldn't have wanted to even meet me back then, because I didn't look very attractive. I was the kind of person you'd cross the street to get on the other side when you see this guy, you know, just some dope smoking whatever guy, you know. But that was just what was going on back then. And those of us that weren't raised in Christ, we just, wow. You know, but here's what I'm saying is, I didn't find Jesus, he found me. And all glory to him. But once he found me, I just said, Lord, whatever's left, I'm yours. And please use me in missions if you would. Use me in missions if you would. And this summer we got to go back to San Diego, where I was in 1971. At a Bible school that accepted hippies, and that's 46 years ago. Very unusual that you could trace your steps sometimes, but the Lord did it. And while I was there near Coachella and San Diego, that area, I remember just laying out in the stars at night and praying, God, if there's a way you could send me overseas, I'd really be happy to be in missions for you. And now the Lord let me come back to the same spot where we prayed that prayer, and look what the Lord has done. Amen. Amen. Is God good? Yeah. So that the reason I said that was 71, and I think it was 72, coming through Dallas and Fort Worth, and I know you were a part of that open, it was an open-air Jesus people, Jesus generation acceptance. It was acceptance, Pastor Bob. It was affirmation and confirmation. Because back then, if you looked like we looked, you weren't allowed in the church. You weren't allowed in the parking lot. Am I right? Yes. But the heart of Pastor Bob and Joy has been priceless in that there was never any kind of a generation gap or a discrimination, or everyone was allowed in your church. And I thank you for loving on us and just being that sincere. And wow, to God be the glory. Like the song was singing, to God be the glory. Amen. Thank you so much for your time. Thank you, Pastor Bob. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Give all the glory to Jesus. Yes.
God bless you. you, my brother.
I hope I didn't take too much time.
Oh, everything's fine. Hallelujah. Yeah. Well, can we give him a good hand clap of amen. Yes. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise be unto the Lord. Well, let me just say this about your hippie days. You know, God did use our church in a very special way. And, you know, one thing touched my heart about our president that we have now. He, like a lot of people, have not been perfect in their past. But I remember one of the final interviews that really, I think, gave me an insight into where it was all coming from. He said, "I'm not the man I used to be." And, you know, when I heard him make that statement, that's all of our testimony. We're not, by the grace of God, we're not who we used to be. Amen. We're new creations in Christ Jesus. Amen. So hippies clean up pretty well, brother. You look good. Amen and amen. Well, I kind of feel like I've been around the world on a mission trip here tonight, don't you? Amen. I really appreciate a night like this because I think it kind of pulls back the curtain and you hear us say things from time to time, but really I think it gives you an insight to see people from other nations and other situations that are happening and realize, for one thing, how blessed we are in America. We are so blessed in America. Well, thank you for coming, Brother McCartney. He usually comes to see us sometime during the month of December. And give our love to your wife. And I know that the best is yet to come. God spared your life at 33,000 feet. He has a purpose in your life then and now and for the days to come. If you'd like to share in blessing our brother tonight, you can just ask God what he would have you to do and place it here on the platform. Amen. We were not exactly sure about the time that he would be with us, and we just got all that confirmed this afternoon. So I really couldn't make an announcement to that effect this morning. But as you give tonight, your gift would just be a blessing. Oh, I tell you, let's be thankful. Let's just make sure this Christmas we're more thankful than we've ever been before. Amen. We should have been out of business when the storm hit, but we still have a home, praise God. And now we have a Christian school. And so many things God has accomplished. Just ask God what he'd have you to do. And if you will, just make the check out to Calvary. And everything that you give will be routed exactly as that. Hallelujah. You know, God had one son, and he gave him as a missionary. Jesus came as a missionary. Praise God, came as a missionary. And we've all been the recipient of that blessing. Praise be unto the Lord. You know, if you noticed, you looked into the faces of a lot of people tonight by video who really don't have much of anything, but they're happy and they're grateful and they're thankful. That's the key. I mean, you say, young people, you know, this entitlement thing has just been a curse to America. And I hit it and leave it alone, but I mean, you take just like the football players playing a game and making millions of dollars and hating the nation that provided their blessing. That doesn't make sense, does it? Well, we'll leave that alone. But at Calvary Cathedral International, we are grateful. We are thankful. I am grateful. I am thankful. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Word of God said, don't be like others and don't be like them. Amen.
Oh, to be God's hands extended, reaching out to thee, oppressed. Let me touch you. May know and be blessed.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
Yes, I am God's hand extended.
Sing it in faith.
Reaching out to thee, oppressed. Oh, for I've touched him. Yes, I've touched Jesus, so that others may know and be blessed.
Father, we thank you for the two services that we've been able to be a part of today. Lord, I'm so thankful that in a world that so many people are in such a hurry going nowhere, God, I thank you that we've been a part of what really counts in our nation. Father, I thank you for Calvary Cathedral International, a safe harbor that has sent a lot of ships out with a lot of cargo to help a lot of people. Father, we just bless the offering tonight. We say that it will go to help in a supernatural way others. Father, we saw faces from another nation, faces from the Philippines, faces from Burma and other places. We saw people who virtually have nothing, yet they were grateful and they were thankful and they were smiling. God, help us just to take a cue from that. And by the grace of God, be the most thankful people on the face of the earth. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, God bless you. It's been a good day. I'm so glad you're in the house of God tonight, and you're going to have a good week. Amen. You're going to have a good week in Jesus' name. We dismiss you in God's love. Amen. Tomorrow night prayer from 6 until 7.